Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Kirsty, if I haven't met you before, and we're actually going to spend some time reading God's Word now. We've got two Bible readings today. The first is from Psalm 100. So if you have your Bible there, open up to Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We're now going to read a passage from the Gospel of John. So if you turn to John in the New Testament, and we'll be reading chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. So that's John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Kirsty. Well, hey guys, my name is Luke. I am the intern here at Christ Central, and I'm super stoked to bring the word to you guys today. But just before I do that, I have a quick question for you. How'd you feel coming into church this morning? It's a bit of a personal question, but did anyone here feel a little bit tired maybe? Maybe some people felt a little bit grumpy. They didn't want to get out of bed this morning. You don't have to feel bad because it does happen to a lot of us, myself included. Sunday, the 27th of December, that was the case for me. I woke up and had Christmas a few days beforehand. I was going away a few days after, and I was grumpy when I woke up. My bed was in that state where it's much comfier in the morning than it was the night before when you tried to sleep. I was very grumpy about coming to church. I wasn't in the mood for it. And we get that way sometimes. And it's interesting because we are coming to church to praise God and to get to know him better, but we're doing it while grumbling. And that's starkly different to what we just read in Psalm 100, which paints this picture of joyful praise. And it gives this idea of what worship should look like. And it paints this picture, but that's what I'm hoping today brings out from Psalm 100, is that we do have reason to be joyful in our praise. We do have reason to give worship. And that's what I'm hoping we see today. But how about I pray and then we'll get into Psalm 100. Lord, it's incredible that we can know you and who you are. And how awesome is it that we can sing about you and praise your name. And thank you that we can see and know your goodness in Jesus. And we pray that as we get into your word today, that we might know even more your love for us and help us to sing your praises with joyful hearts. And I pray all this for your glory. Amen. Well, Psalm 100 is this psalm of giving grateful praise, and that's exactly how it starts off. It comes off with this fairly direct command to all the earth. If you read with me verses 1 and 2, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." It's a very visual picture that's being painted there, isn't it? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And it got me thinking, what would that actually look like, all the earth shouting for joy? And it made me think of a senior school swimming carnival. See, these are fresh in my memory, and I'm sure they're fresh in all of your memories as well, like they're just last year. But basically, you come together in these sport houses, and during the races, you sing war cries, and it's loud. Everyone's shouting at the top of their lungs. There's a few year sevens in the corner wondering what they've gotten themselves into in this senior school gig. And it's loud and it's joyful. But we see even bigger displays of that, don't we? That's just 1,000 people maybe, max. But maybe at the Ed Sheeran concert, you see 50,000 fans cheering for Ed Sheeran as he sings his song. Or maybe even later this year, you'll see 100,000 fans as the Brisbane Lions win the AFL Premiership. See, we have these awesome moments of joy and shouts and that, but all of this pales in comparison to what's being said here in Psalm 100. See, verse 1 says, all the earth, billions of people shouting with joy to the Lord. How incredible is that picture? See, the call at the start of Psalm is not selective and choosing. It's for everyone on earth. Shouting and singing to God with joy and gladness. See, worship is the right response to the God of the universe from everyone. See, if we're shouting for joy at a swimming carnival or at some kind of footy match, how much more should we shout for joy to the God who made us? So we open up with this call to praise, but maybe you're thinking, what does that look like on an everyday basis? Are we supposed to run around like we're at some kind of swimming carnival shouting and cheering? That's not actually what's being said here. And to help us understand, we'll take a look at a different translation of Psalm 100. And this translation is from the ESV, and it brings out what the actual Hebrew means there. So it'll help us get a better understanding of the passage. If you read on the screen with me, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. See, rather than making noise for the sake of it, the psalm suggests serving God is worship. See, it's more than just shouts for joy. It's about living a life that glorifies God. See, joyful noise and serving, they go hand in hand because they come from a heart level of wanting to glorify God. See, praising God, it is joyful noise and it is serving him. It's living wholly for God. It's a heart level thing. But then what's interesting is you see alongside this call to praise and serve God, there's this command to feel different emotions as well. Can you see that there? There's words like serve with gladness and sing with joy. You can't command emotion. I can ask someone to go buy me a loaf of bread, but I can't make them smile while they're doing it. Or I can ask someone for a back massage, but they're not necessarily going to be happy about doing that. And as I mentioned, that one Sunday kind of earlier, I came to church and I sang songs. I even packed up some chairs after, but there wasn't gladness in my heart while I did. I was grumbling. So how can this psalm command emotion? And that's what I love so much about this psalm, is the fact that it can be broken up into two parts. There's this call to praise, and then there's the reasons why we can worship and praise. So directly after this first call to praise, it gives this awesome reason as to why we can in verse 3. And even amongst the maybe negative feelings that we have, there's a real reason to be joyful in giving praise. If you read on with me through verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See, if you're a Christian here today, you might kind of shrug and go, yep, I know God and that he made me and that I'm his. It makes sense. But I want you to take a quick step back and realize what's being claimed here. It's saying we belong to God. We're his possession. Do you see that? It is he who made us and we are his. We're God's possession. So then let me ask you, who here wants to be owned by someone? It's a fairly disrespectful concept, isn't it? I'm my own person is kind of what jumps into my mind. I don't want to be controlled by someone else. How backwards is it to be owned by someone in the 21st century? And maybe it makes you think of the things you own, maybe a car or a phone. See, I own those things. I'm in control of them. If I want to drive as far as I want to drive, I can. If I want to send a picture of my face to my mate, I can. I'm in control. I own those things. So is that what this verse is saying? We're God's possession. We have no freedom, no control. And how could that be part of the reason behind why we serve and sing his praise with joy? Well, I think the words just after, though, sheep of his pastures, says a lot about the kind of thing between God and all of us. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. And there's something quite peaceful about that, isn't there? It has me thinking of these kind of green fields with room to roam, and there's food and water. It's a safe place. And the Bible often uses this language of God's pasture and sheep and shepherds. And a few weeks ago, the series, we even talked about the Lord being our shepherd. It's the way writers in the Bible speak of the thing between people and God. We talk about it in Psalm 23 just a few weeks ago. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then the psalm goes on to talk about God walking with us, guiding us and providing for us, the same way a shepherd provides for his sheep. Psalm 100 is that kind of thing with God in mind. We are God's, but not in the same way that you might own a car or a phone, but as a shepherd and a sheep. So do you think a sheep feels like he's missing out on life from the safety and comfort of the green pastures? Does he feel trapped when he's being saved from danger by his shepherd? It's actually not a bad statement. We're loved and cared for. There's an incredible freedom and joy in being God's people. And the Israelites, they knew this when they sung this psalm. See, they were freed from slavery under God's care. They knew slavery in Egypt, and they knew the freedom of being God's people. And what's interesting is when you come to faith in Jesus, we realize slavery isn't actually something that just other people went through. See, no, without Jesus, we'd still be in slavery to sin and death ourselves. We're freed from that through Jesus in the same way. And we're going to take a look at a few verses from John 10. And we're going to look at the start and the end of it to really focus in on that freedom. So John verses 10 to 11, and then 14 and 15 we'll read. To 10 to 11 it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then verse 14 and 15 reads, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." See, Jesus laid down his life for you and for me, so we could be part of those green pastures. Do you see that there? Jesus knows us, and we know him. We've been freed from the slavery of sin and death, so that we can know God. See, the picture of being God isn't harsh. It's a picture of being lovingly known by God. We're under God's care. It's a picture of life lived to the fullest. What an incredible reason that is to be joyful. See, God knows us and we know him. So that's kind of your first half of the psalm. You're given the first call to praise and then the reason behind it. We are known by God and we are his. But then verse 4 bounces back pretty quickly with a second call to grateful praise. Check this out with me. Verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." So a call to praise and worship God for a second time. It almost says the same thing as what verse 1 and 2 said. There's a definite focus of this psalm on grateful praise and worship. But then verse 4 has this unique aspect of talking about courts and gates. It's painting a picture of the temple back in ancient Israel. See, the temple is where God dwelled, and entering into the temple and praising God was entering into God's presence and worshiping him there. See, I picture this awesome scene where there's people and they're just visiting this temple and they're singing God's praises. It'll look incredible. But let me just quickly pull you up on something that you might be thinking. So you might think the temple, oh, that's just a fancy term for the church today on Sunday. And then maybe you're feeling a little bit let down because we don't have those courts and gates. We kind of walk in here. There's not singing and praises. We're shuffling through the door, getting contact traces and getting hand sanitizer. It's a different picture to the temple. But I want to tell you, the temple back in Israel is not the same as the church today. See, the temple was where you went to be in the presence of God. It's where you sacrificed animals to be right with God. God dwelled there behind a curtain away from sinful people. There was a barrier. The people entered the courts of the temple singing praises because that's where God was. But see, Jesus changed all that. We don't have to go to a building to try and come to God, because in Jesus, God has already come to us. So we can praise God with thankfulness because he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross meant we could be with God. The sin that put a barrier between God and us, it was knocked down by Jesus on the cross. We no longer have to go into the temple to be in the presence of God, or the school here to be in the presence of God. See, when you accept Jesus, the Spirit comes and dwells in you. So rather than entering into a temple to worship God, enter into worship of Jesus. He lived and died so that we could be with God. Be thankful. Sing his praises. That's what the psalm is calling us to do. So Psalm 100 has called us to worship once again in verse 4. And we're given some reasons there as to why. But then verse 5, it really wraps up this whole psalm. It gives every reason to give God grateful praise. Read verse 5 with me. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And some versions may read steadfast love. See, in just the start of the verse there, we're given every reason for worshiping God with joy in our hearts. For the Lord is good. That's reason enough. But I want to take it even further though, because the rest of the verse tells us just how good our God is. See, just after we're told that the Lord is good, the author states that his love endures forever. But in the actual translation, they use the word in place of love called hesed. And hesed doesn't have a direct translation to English. So you might sometimes see it translated as faithfulness, love, loyalty, mercy, or kindness. It's about his covenant love, the love shown through his promises to Israel and then now us. And there's so much reason behind there's so much meaning behind that word. What a beautiful way of explaining God and his character. So then you could almost read verse 5 as, for the Lord is good, and his covenant love, kindness, loyalty, patience, and mercy endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And what an awesome reason that is to give praise and worship to God. You worship God because of his amazing character and nature. See, how awesome is that we serve a God who loves us, who is faithful to us, who is loyal to us, who is patient with us. And the most amazing thing about this is we can see the proof of God's love and faithfulness through Jesus. See, Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises through all generations. His covenant love towards us. He's the promised Savior. See, if you want reason to give grateful and thankful praise to God, look at Jesus who suffered on the cross for you and me. If you want reason to serve God, look at Jesus and the way he lived life serving God. And if you're looking for a reason to follow God and proclaim him as king, look at the way he kept his promise through his son. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. From the very start of time until today, God remains faithful. We see that through Jesus. See, how much love has been shown to us that even while we were turned away from God, while we said no to those green pastures, he sent Jesus to save us from sin and from death. See, if you know Jesus, you have so many reasons to praise God. But I want to ask you how we actually go with that. See, how often do you actually find yourself singing out in joyful praise? And when even we're singing in church, are you focused on God, or are you like me where your mind wanders off to different things in the day? And maybe you're serving God in different ways, but maybe there's grumbling in your heart while you do that. See, maybe you're like me and you're a bit like that sometimes. Well, the psalm in a sense, it's calling us to stop and smell the roses. But not just to finish there. See, we're called to stop and smell the roses and then praise the one who made them. See, if we're being real, how often do we take time to sit back in wonder and gladness and just reflecting on the God we know. And do we ever let our life take the back seat, let our plans take the back seat and just reflect on Jesus, focus on Him? See, I feel a lot of the time we're like sheep ignoring our shepherds. And if that's the case, then let this psalm encourage you not to get caught up in life and all the things that go on, the craziness of life. Let God remind you of the joy found in Him. It's not a superficial joy, but the joy that can only come from knowing the God of the universe. But today you might be struggling because joy and gladness seem a little bit hard to come by. So it can be hard to feel joy and thankfulness when circumstances bring you down. I couldn't say how many days that there are where a bad day's taken me away from speaking to God or praying or singing. But maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's more than just a bad day. See, there might be dearth, death, hurt, broken relationships and things said that plague your mind and weigh you down. And if that's the way you feel, I am sorry that you are hurting. And then even beyond that, I think for everyone, these last 12 months even, they've been really tough. Because everything seems unsettled. I know people, they miss their families because of travel laws, and there's real heartache around that. And it's hard to make plans because everything's always shifting. Life seems uprooted in some senses. These last 12 months, they've been difficult. And maybe you're struggling to feel joy and thankfulness. See, you know, sometimes it feels you aren't even in those green pastures. And if that's where you're at, if that's how you're feeling today, I do want to say that I am sorry that you're hurting. It's tough. But I also want to tell you the fact that God hasn't left you. See, whether you trust in God or not, this life is crazy. The world is broken. It's always shifting. But God is rock solid. And I pray that if you are struggling, that you can find comfort in Psalm 100. See, His steadfast love and faithfulness endures forever. God is good. That's something you can rely on in a broken world. It's a promise. We see that in Jesus. The joy found in Him, it can be even deeper than the deepest hurts and pains. There's comfort from God right now even. He's walking in those valleys with you. He's holding you. You're the sheep of His pastures. See, praise His name because His love for you endures forever. Real gladness can be found in that. See, life can definitely be hard. I can't take away from that, but I promise you there's true peace and joy found in Jesus. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read this whole psalm again, but I want you to take out everything from your mind and just focus on the psalm. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus as I read this psalm out. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Hey, how about I pray? Dear Lord, how incredible You are. We thank You that we do have so many reasons to worship You and be thankful to You. And thank You that You are steadfast and rock solid in this messy, broken world. And we can lean into that truth. And I thank You for Jesus and the joy we can find in Him. Put gladness on our hearts, Lord, as we reflect on all the things that You've done for us. And as we go about our lives, I pray that You set our minds on You. Let us have life take the back seat and have our focus on You. I pray that we'll live a life wholly serving and glorifying You. And we pray all this for Your glory. Amen.